are towards the last few days of 2016. And I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that 2016 has been a hell of a year. I've had some good things happen, and I've had some bad things happen. But through all of the ups and downs of 2016, one thing that I'm definitely adamant about is that 2017 is going to be a fantastic year because I am going to make it so. I refuse to allow the leftover residuals of 2016 to impact what it is I want to do in 2017. I'll tell you something else I learned about 2016, that it's never too late. And even though I may be talking to you at the end of 2016, who knows? Got a few days left. Those breakthroughs, those challenges you've been working on overcoming, those things that you've been leaving in the higher power for can still come to pass. What I truly do believe is those things can come to pass if you show up in your life, if you decide to be an active participant and to allow that inner voice to guide you to what it is that you want to do. But how do you do that, especially as we move towards 2017? And we've talked about this before on the show, but I invited somebody else to come on the show to kind of give us a good Geiger counter on what it is that we can do in 2017 to enhance our intuition, to act on it, and to really thrive in a way that's positive, and to really thrive in a way that's going to make us want to feel good about who we are and what we are doing. I have with us today Abby Gooch. And Abby Gooch is fantastic. I just love her energy. I asked her before the show, are you always this happy? a little bit about her bio. Her mission is to spread the message of intuition by living it in her own life and inspiring others to do the same. She is an intuitive success coach. She trains men, women, and children throughout the world how to develop their intuition, to heal, and to create the lives they desire. She's the founder of Life Force Connection, One Heart Global, and the author of Touch the Light, The Miracle of You, and the Intuitive Success Coaching Process. Her work with children and adults began professionally when she opened her practice at 19 years old. Wow, talk about vision. And went on to build a wellness center, a certification school, and is now working on her nonprofit, One Heart Global, to support the children of the world and to have a home of love and safety with education and support and mentorship so that these children can live their dreams using the intuitive success coaching process. That's just fantastic. Abby, welcome to What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy. It's so wonderful to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Linus. I love the title of it, What is Inside of You? What a powerful concept.
Well, yes, because it says in the Bible that everything we need is already within us to live the kinds of lives that we have been promised. And whether you're Christian or Buddhist or whatever, I think all religions talk about the fact that we do have a right to an abundant and joyful life. But the question is, and I'll be the first one to ask that question is, okay, well, that sounds good, but how do you do it? You know, you've got so many things out there. Intuition, of course, is one. Energy healing is another. Herbs and teas, meditation, yoga, oils, the food you eat, whatever. And I really do feel that everybody is different. So therefore, the chances of one of these kinds of things working and helping you is very real. But today in particular, I wanted to talk about intuition and how we can use it for 2017. But first, let's kind of start back from the beginning. Tell us a little bit. I told our audience a little bit about you, but why are you so passionate about intuition? What is it about intuition that makes you smile the way you are right now?
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, I'd love to just respond to your first thing, if that's okay, about... Yes. You know, really what's inside of you. So intuition is truly about believing what's inside of you. So there is greatness inside of you, and your intuition connects you to that. So the power and the way I developed my intuition was I became aware of that very young, and I trusted it, and I followed it, and I obviously took action on it to create what I've created. So it's not just for me, it's for everybody. And so what I do know is that power is unlimited. So it becomes greater than anything outside of us, because that's a challenge that we can actually use to be the greatest gift. So what I do is help people get in touch with that power of their intuition and use it to allow it to guide them in their lives.
Well, you know, we're moving towards 2017. And everybody is talking about, as we always do, that for this year, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I've got these goals that I want to do or objectives that I want to achieve. Where does intuition come into play when it comes to fulfilling our goals and objectives that we set for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. You know what I feel is your intuition will guide you on purpose. So when you have these goals and these intentions and aspirations, have them and then allow yourself to be guided and unattached, because the truth is, because we have everything within us that we need, everything we need will be provided for. So we have to trust that whatever we need and whatever is in our highest will come. But the rest, we actually have to be willing to let go, because there's an attachment that can actually block something even bigger from happening.
Well, that's interesting, because you hear that also a lot about let go and let God and release and all that stuff. But the reality is that many of us, I included, kind of hold on to some of these things, even if they're not that great for us. So how do we let go of some of those things that might be causing us to not be able to not hear that intuition?
So it's about staying in alignment. So the way you know if you're in alignment with your intuition is it feels good. So when you're following your intuition, it feels good. It feels light. Everybody can check in for themselves right now and notice when they get an intuitive no, what that feels like. So usually it's a gut feeling that kind of will constrict or give you a down feeling. Whereas your yes, like when you know something is a yes for you, notice how your body. So you can kind of get a read within your own body. What's my yes? What's my no? And so you follow your yeses. And again, those yeses are going to feel light. They're going to feel expansive. They're going to feel easy. Okay? Now, how we release the things that are blocking us is, where are those constrictions? So usually it's fear or doubt or something in the mind, or maybe it's just not in alignment. So we're getting that as feedback. So your intuition can say, I feel some constriction, or it doesn't feel right, or I feel afraid in the sense of, it's like, it's not a fear in your mind, but you actually feel fear in your body. And to me, that's guidance that don't do that. Like, don't walk down a dark street. Like, your fear is actually there for a reason. It's how you work with it. But when you're in full alignment with your intuition, you actually don't feel fear. You feel courage because you're excited about what's coming, but it may be beyond what your mind can comprehend. But when you're in full alignment, it's like, no, I feel more excited than I feel afraid, because you're in alignment. Because really your mind, it's your mind that's really freaking you out, unless your body is saying, this doesn't feel right, right? Like the dark street, I'm getting fear because this isn't safe. You will get that as feedback. And so listen to it as that guidance.
It's interesting because I've always been of the opinion that fear can be crippling and it can keep you from doing the things that you want to do. So sometimes I think maybe there's a good kind of fear and a bad kind of fear. And I guess intuition will help you tell the difference. When you're working with your clients, how do you help them with understanding what the good fears are and the bad fears are, what the good voice is and what the bad voice is?
Yeah, that's a great question. So everybody just take a moment to what I call drop in to your intuition. So you're going to bring your awareness from your head, from anything that's going outside, any thoughts, any distractions. You're going to bring it into your heart. And let's just all connect at our hearts. So you're going to feel this opening of your heart, this giving and receiving of love. And that sets the groundwork for following your intuition, because it's, you're centered in love. So from this connection, you're going to notice you can start to feel me and I can start to feel you, because now we're feeling energy. We're beyond just the mind and thought. We're actually feeling. We can feel each other. We can feel the connection. We can feel the connection to the environment around us from our heart, how we feel it, how we experience it. So your intuition is tracking how we feel it. That's why we're guided by our emotions, right? So the fear that says, don't go there, is your heart, your body saying, I'm tracking information in my environment that isn't going to serve me, or maybe is going to serve you, right? So that's the fear that would say, I'm feeling something in this moment that is not going to serve me, or vice versa, right? So then if you drop your awareness a couple inches below your belly button, right at your gut, So your gut is your center. I was talking to a scientist yesterday that actually described the way we're born, like in the fetus, you move literally from your head to your heart to your gut, and that's your center. And I said, how funny. I've been teaching this since I was 19. Follow your gut. It's because it's literally your center. So breathe into your center and feel that connection. This is also, it's like that instinctual knowing. You just know that you know. It's a centered place that's actually even beyond emotion. There's just this knowingness. So as you start to bridge your heart with your knowingness, you're going to feel the guidance. It will pull you. Your intuition, your gut will literally pull you forward towards what will serve you. Now, when it's pulling you towards something positive, that's your intuition. That's what you want to listen to. The fear you want to let go of is your mind saying you can't follow that. Your mind saying this is beyond my belief system. This is beyond what I was taught. This is beyond what I thought I could do. But the key is first to connect with your intuition. When you're connected, you're in alignment. You're in truth. And you move forward. There's no fear in that connection. The fear is actually your mind, right? Stopping you. Do you understand the difference? It's a thought. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between the fear of guidance. That it literally comes through your body. Like when you're being guided not to walk down a dark street, think about a time that you've been in a physical situation. It's like a tiger is in front of you, right? It's the fight or flight. That's the fear I'm talking about that you want to listen to, which is very clear guidance. I need to keep my body safe versus being fully connected to your intuitive center, knowing that you know, and still being afraid because it's beyond what you ever thought you could do. But that's your greatness, right? So I'm 19 years old, like, I'm ready to go. And people are like, who are you? You know, why don't you have a degree? And I'm like, oh, I left college. I wasn't afraid. I knew what I knew. And that's why I was successful. So it's like following that knowing. I think that's one of the biggest keys is follow your knowing because it knows. The mind will second guess. So it's your first feeling. Take action. Go with it. Does that help, Linus?
Yes, that does. In fact, I was going to say something about the knowing. I think that all of us have had that knowing. And you're right. The fear keeps us from doing it because it might be outside our paradigm.
Right.
We're not ready to shift it. You know,
we're scared.
Right.
Because, yeah. It's literally if you imagine a box and that's your brain and your heart expands it, your heart gets you on top of the box. It's like, oh, now I'm standing on top of the world. Then your feet get on top of that box and that's your intuition. You are on top of the world because you've moved above your conditioning. Because it's also like, I was watching this TV show the other day. It's like your mind is kind of like a tape recorder. So at a subconscious level, it's recording information. Mm-hmm. And so when you're tapped into your intuition, you're moving into truth. That knowingness is the truth within you. That's why I said everything's within you, because the thing is, that guidance is within you. So if there's something you don't know, you will be guided to the person that knows what you need to know. But you actually knew it because you needed to contact them. You had the guidance to know to go there.
Yes, I understand. And it's interesting. One of the things you said about the gut, which is very interesting, there have been studies that have shown that there are cells in our stomach lining that are just the same as our brain. And this is something that has come out just recently among popular culture. I think that others have known it for years and years. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, one way to really confirm that, for instance, when you're upset about something, emotionally upset about something, what normally is the first thing that begins to happen? Most people, and I know this is true for me, get an upset stomach. Their stomach gets upset. And you're thinking, well, what the heck would my being upset about what my boss says have to do with my stomach getting upset? Well, your mind is going through whatever it's going through, processing that information. And, of course, the processing is, I'm upset. And it automatically translates that to your stomach, and the stomach is upset. So it makes perfect sense that if your gut is that closely aligned with your brain, I mean, your neuron processing center where all these messages are going around in your head, then why not be able to appeal to that when it comes to guiding and directing you?
So there's a nerve that connects your brain to your gut. And it's so funny you mentioned this. I just talked to this lady yesterday. There's 500 million of those cells in your gut that you're talking
500
about.
500 million. And you know, this is such powerful information for people to have. I believe that information is power. And if we could ever figure out how to use that continuum of the mind, body, and spirit, when it comes to guiding us and not only guiding us, but maintaining our wellness. That's huge, huge power. And I think one of the things that keeps us from really being whole in that continuum of our mind, body, and spirit, or in this case, mind, body, and energy, is ourselves. There are some that call it the monkey mind. I don't know what you call it. Are you familiar with that term, the monkey mind?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, it's going back to the truth. So your mind only has a limited amount of information compared to your heart. So you move from your mind and then to your heart, which again is picking up all that information in the environment, right? It's picking up frequency. And then your gut is doing both. It's picking up the mind information, it's picking up the heart, and it's bringing it together. It's your center point. It's merging mind and heart. And so that's why the guidance is so accurate. It's taking what the mind is seeing, it's feeling what the heart is experiencing, and then it's dropping into a knowing. And my experience is it's really your soul and body, because when you are actually, I teach the intuitive process you're talking about, when we align all of the chakras and we have these activations, you're actually downloading source energy. You're downloading the universal energy. So you are a conduit, and your intuition is in direct alignment with that. And so you become that clear channel. So I might have segued a bit, but I wanted you guys to hear that it's all there, and it's a matter of activating.
There's something that you said that's important, too, and let's talk a little bit about chakras. Yes. For those of my listeners that may not quite know what chakras are and how they can access them in this aligning process.
Yeah. So the chakras are your energetic centers. So each chakra center has an emotional and a physical component and an energetic one, of course. And so as you balance them, it naturally moves your mind-body system into its alignment. And in doing so, you're in alignment with Source. So I can briefly tell you, you know, what each of those centers are.
Yes.
For me and my work, we do activations around it with processes, so in person or online. So I don't know if I can do all of that today, but I can tell you what they are, and hopefully at least a bit will get activated, just
okay.
The awareness mm-hmm. of them. Okay. So your first chakra, like right now, I can feel it tight at my tailbone because that's my security, my center. So at the base of your spine is your first chakra. So your first chakra governs your ability to feel safe, to feel loved, to feel connected. And when you are allowing that and you feel safe, you naturally will move to your next chakra, which is your gut, which is your sensuality, your sexuality, your ability to connect and feel everything. So as you activate that feeling center, you become more aware to your power, which is your third chakra above your belly button, which is your personal decision and your will. So you start really feeling what it feels like to be empowered, which moves you up to your heart, which is where we're connected here. So imagine being connected to yourself and everybody in your world. It creates harmony because you're from a love base. It's also the chakra of forgiveness, right? So we have a neutral playing ground when we bring in those new energies, which then allows your fifth chakra to speak your truth. So imagine if any of you have any blocks around speaking what's true for you because you're afraid, because you were told you couldn't, because there were certain maybe religious beliefs that said, if I do this, I'll go to hell. That was something I worked with. Like I had to sit still or I was going to be punished. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. really, you know, interesting things that, you know, it's just a lack of awareness. So as you start to get in touch with your truth and then drop into your intuition, you're in that center point, right? And then from there, you move into your vision. So your sixth chakra is in between your eyebrows, and that activates your vision and your purpose while you're here. And then the very top of your head is your sacred connection. So that's where when all these chakras are aligned, you naturally flow that light energy, that source energy, and you become that conduit from the infinite energy. It's like all is possible. And then it's going to flow through your chakras mm-hmm. in the way that's uniquely perfect for you, because there's only one you. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that said, you know, nobody can fill your space. That's yours. Mm-hmm. And we need you. Nobody can take your puzzle piece. That's it. Like, we need each of us to complete the puzzle.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
So to get your chakras in balance, there's a few things you can do. The most surface, so to speak, way to do it is to start to balance the energy by seeing the color. So each chakra has a different color. So you can bring your awareness to your tailbone right now and start to bring in that color. So for that one, it's red. So you start just spinning an orb of light right at your tailbone, and that will just start to bring your awareness to that area. It'll start to balance it. And for this particular chakra, we'll just start with this one, and it's I need. So there's an affirmation for each chakra. It's a resonance. So I need. So it makes sense, right? When we're in our security, we're getting our needs met, whether they're, you know, emotional or financial or physical, we're safe. So tapping into that chakra is seeing, okay, where are my needs not met and how can I meet them?
You know, I love that idea of being able to actually impact change in your own body, but in particular with the chakras. And I know that you give sessions about this. And at the end of the broadcast, we're going to talk about how people can get in touch with you and find out more about the wonderful services you provide. There was something that you had said earlier that was fascinating to me, and that was your work with children. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with working with children, and what is that like? Because they're just so open. They're like sponges.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my work began when I was a child, actually. So I had just an awareness when I was 8 years old of what I would call God. You can call it the universe. You can call it source energy, whatever you want. But I literally felt this ball of light in my hand, and I felt like it was the world. And I felt it holding me, but me holding it at the same time. And that's where I got we were all connected. And it's like I felt like I was God almost, right? Like I was that powerful to hold it, but yet it was holding me. So there was this sense of infinity. And so I had that experience, and then, you know, a few years later, I had a very traumatic event that happened where I had to access my intuition to stay in alignment with truth for myself, because the feedback and everything that was happening in my life was not the truth. It actually wasn't. And a lot of people could probably relate to that. Whatever childhood you've had, most of what we were told was not true. It wasn't based in truth. It was often based in that fear we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, passing down what the last generation had learned or misperceptions, right? A lot of times people have misperceptions or stories or things that, and that was the case. You know, a lot of people would project that, right? Mm-hmm. So the point is to move into that center of my knowingness. I came into contact with that source energy again. And I would use it to guide me and keep me sane, quite literally. Mm-hmm. So my inner child, right, my child at the time knew that. And so I trusted what I knew, even though my mind was being told some other things. Mm-hmm. So I always loved children, and I had that connection very young. And so for me, I became a nanny very young, and I started working with kids, and I watched how they knew what they knew. They knew that they wanted to eat, to sleep, to drink, to whatever, without feeling bad or guilty. Like, all of that is just total programming, right? Mm-hmm. So I realized that they were tapped into another world, too. So that's the other thing. When I was a child, I was tapped into another world. I could see things, you know? I was able to see beyond the physical. And I know so many people actually can do that, but then they get afraid when it starts coming through.
Yes. It's interesting because there goes that fear thing again. And right. One thing I know about children, I'm thinking about my grandson. I have a grandson that's 2 years old. And right now, where he is in his knowing, he has no fear. He is at a point now where he was a preemie. He was born almost 3 months early. And so he came in, you know, supposedly not fully developed. He was in ICU for a whole month before he actually came home. And as soon as he was old enough, when he was about 5 or 6 months old, we put him in special therapy to make sure so he could catch up with speech therapy, physical therapy, and all that kind of stuff. And the interesting thing was, is that the therapists all said, well, one thing we know for sure, he's not really that delayed for a preemie that's 3 months. And we don't think he's autistic, because sometimes he would stare off into space and we're wondering, what is he looking at? You know, we're all freaked out because, you know, autism and everything else is going on these days. And they said, you know, he's too engaged for all of that. They said, but, you know, children really do have this inner knowing. And over time, they unlearn some of the things they come here, that they come here with, you know, the gifts, talents, and abilities that they have. And he said, this is coming from the therapist. They were saying, we think your grandson might actually be seeing things that all babies see. It's just that he is maybe communicating it more to it because everyone is searching, trying to figure out, you know, is he okay? And he's just, you know, trying to let you know in his own way that, yes, I am. And we're like, oh, that is a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. Well, about a month or two after he started going through the therapy and all of that, one of the things that was really amazing to us is that in his crawling, because he still wasn't quite walking yet, by this time he was about a little over a year, he crawled over to a corner, which is kind of like a remembrance to my daughter's father. He died about 2 years ago, and my daughter found out she was expecting my grandson maybe about a week after he died. So he's never seen his grandfather. He has seen pictures of him, but we haven't gone and said, you know, Papa or anything like that. We haven't really done that. Well, one day, out of the blue, he was about 12 months, he crawls over to there, and his first word was, Papa. We were freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it really goes back to what you said earlier. Literally, as you're talking, I'm actually seeing sparks, like sparks of light around your face, because you're in the light right now. And so I'm seeing the energy. So why is that scary? That's not scary. I'm seeing light. It's our belief about what we can do. So again, anytime we move beyond our perceived limitations, it will trigger that fear, because that's the old tape. So again, your intuition is connecting with the truth of the light, right?
Yes.
And so it's literally shining the light. And so that's why your grandson can see things early. He's still, and that's the other thing, when your children, remember, your brain is less developed. There's less stuff in there. So there's less filters. So you're just in your alignment to source so naturally. So that's what we're actually all remembering, is we all came here, like you said, with a unique purpose and gifts and talents, all these great things, and we're meant to use them. So, you know, the dampering happens with, you know, the conditioning of the mind. You can't, right? So again, it's the fear of the belief systems that we're actually breaking through. But if you actually look at the truth of it. Oh my God, I'm seeing light. I'm seeing angels. Oh my God, how cool.
Right. You know? Instead of being afraid of it and thinking that there's something wrong with you, because what we learned from that experience was, wow, not as we had taught it him, but it was a confirmation that there's lots of things that are going on that we as adults either are no longer aware of, or we just kind of push it away because it's outside our paradigm, that children yet, because we haven't had time to teach them all of our biases yet, that very young children don't have. That's why I was so fascinated with your work when it comes to children. How do they respond when you talk with them about intuition? What kinds of things do you say to them when it comes to developing their intuition?
Yeah. So you know what? Most of it's creating the space, again, for what they already know. So I don't say a whole lot. I more listen. I listen and I create the space. And that's a foundation of the intuitive success coaching process, is unconditional love and non-judgment. So imagine each and every one of us being held in that space. There is so much freedom to be yourself. So these children are then allowed to be who they are. We are then allowed to be who we are.
And that's interesting, because I think as adults, we really get into this thing of playing a role. And it becomes so intrinsic in our behavior that it's almost hard to figure out who we really are or who we really were, because we're so busy fulfilling everybody's expectations. And more specifically, taking it, let's say, for women, you know, we play so many roles in everyone else's lives. We're mothers, we're daughters, we're sisters, we're employees, we're neighbors, we're grandparents, we're caregivers, we're all these different things, nurturers, teachers. Not to say that men don't do that, but men, listeners, you know what I'm talking about, all the different roles that your significant other or your wife or sister plays. Sometimes you wonder, how does she do all of that? In the process of fulfilling all of those roles, sometimes ourselves, you know, who it was we were originally meant to be, sometimes gets lost. And when you get lost like that, and I'm the first one that it happened to me, because I had an epiphany, and that's what kind of woke me up, that I needed to rediscover myself. But when you are so busy pouring out and giving to everyone else, you become, that vessel becomes empty. And then it really is confusing to connect, to have intuition guide you. So what would your advice be to people who feel like they're on empty to kind of begin to fill themselves back up so they can reconnect?
Wow, I think it's really well said. I've been there, and I think a lot of people that are natural givers do. And to fill yourself up is, learn the process. Like, learn how to get connected, because as you learn to balance your energy, you will be full again. And so it's like, what brings you into balance? So what are the things that lift you up? What gives you energy? Follow your intuitive yeses. The chakra system will actually, like we said, bring you back into alignment, because it'll connect you with your authentic truth versus who you think you should be. So again, going through what we talked about, right, your base of your safety, your knowing, your power, your love, your truth. So it's like, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking of a student who was in my class. She was a hairdresser and a great mom, great everything, right? And she was trying so hard and doing so well at fulfilling those roles, but she had lost her truth in it. Mm-hmm. She wasn't happy in it. Mm-hmm. So it's like getting clear, what is your truth in that? And then what is your vision? So to ask, what is my truth? And then move into your vision. So that's, you know, that's going up to your sixth chakra again. And then connecting with source for guidance, which is going to be drop into your intuition.
Well, it's interesting because I think for me, and some of my listeners know my story, but I had developed an anxiety disorder. And that anxiety disorder was a direct result of post-traumatic stress. And it's amazing how many of us have gone through events that were traumatic. Yep. But because they weren't necessarily affiliated with violence and death or something that, you know, you saw that was really, they don't diagnose it as such. But one of the main symptoms of someone that's suffering from post-traumatic stress is anxiety. Yep. It's anxiety. And so it wasn't until many years later that I really started digging, that I realized that it was the event that caused the anxiety. But I first had to just stop and come back to the basics of getting to know who I was, what motivated me, what my passions were, what things that I need to let go of. And it was a process. It took me about a year to get through all of that. And then once I began to realize, you know, what I wanted to do, then I had to go through another process of trying to figure out how to do it. And of course, you know, 6 years later, here I am, still on that journey, still, you know, pursuing my truth. So I want to tell the listeners that this is not one of those quick fixes kind of thing. It's part of your journey. And it's a journey that you're going to want to take. And enhancing your intuition and doing the things that are necessary, you know, to come close to your authentic self, of who your true self is a part of the journey. Anyone that tells you, oh, I can get you connected in an hour. No. And I'm sure you know, you've had many sessions with many people, conducted many classes with that.
Yeah, like you said, it's a process. So you actually are all connected right now. We all are. It's a process of listening and following it. And, you know, in response to what you're sharing about anxiety, and also going back to the first chakra, right, as we're just working with that as a baseline, is creating the safety. So what would make me feel safe? What would cause some relaxation, right? So when you were talking like salt water baths, massages, to bring back into your body, because your body needs to remember its wholeness, then you can process the emotions and you can change the thoughts. And your intuition will help you get connected to the truth so you can change the thought process, because you're not the experience. You went through it to grow, right? You went through it to gain whatever you gained from it. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you know, the gift is always greater, you know, than the challenge, right? Because it's like you wouldn't have had that experience unless you were A, strong enough to come through it, and B, needed to learn that lesson to then share that gift with the world.
Yes.
So it's a blessing, and we connect, right? So I've experienced anxiety, right? Lo and behold, we're talking about it, right? So we all come together to then uplift, transform it, change it. And so, yes, your intuition will guide you. That's probably why you're all listening today, right? Mm-hmm. Your intuition actually guided you to get this information.
Yes.
Yay you. You're awesome, right? We're all awesome. So it's like, you know, going back to the greatness within you. Now believe in it. Wow, I followed my intuition. I'm here. It feels good. It feels right. Now keep doing that. That's the process.
Right. That's so true. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I truly do believe that when people listen to my show, it's because they were led there. You know, there's so many shows on the internet. What are you doing listening to my show? Well, it's because it was some kind of divine ordinance that has you here. So take advantage of that. And the feeling and the aha moment that you're getting right now, remember what that feels like. Use that as your bookmark or Geiger counter. You can always come back to this and say, you know what, that time when I was listening to What's Inside You and they were talking about intuition and all of a sudden I got that aha, and Abby was saying awesome, and I was like, yes, that's what it feels like, listeners.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're connecting into something. And all of us have had that experience. And I encourage you to take it a step further. When you want to go back to see what it feels like when you know you're on target with your intuition, then think about, okay, what else brings me that kind of feeling? And do that. Begin to work in that feeling so that you recognize it even more so when your intuition kicks in. And I'll give you an example for me, because I've been dancing since I was 4 years old. And I'm up now 59 and I still dance. Just yesterday, I was at the gym working out, and the dance room was open. And so this voice said, you know, my intuition, go in there and do some moves, you know. I'm like, no, I'm so out of shape. I haven't danced professionally in almost, you know what, 1 year to the day was the last time I performed, okay? 1 year to the day. I said, all that monkey mind. And so the other voice said, yeah, who's going to be looking? Everybody's busy huffing and puffing, doing whatever they're doing in the gym. Go into that room and start moving. And so I went into that room, and I started moving. And I'm telling you, it was only about 5 minutes or so, because that's all I could take at a full-length view mirror of myself was 5 minutes. But it was only 5 minutes. But I was able to connect with something that I hadn't connected with in a long time. And I remembered that feeling before. I had it earlier with you and just had it now as I was talking, that aha. And it's like, okay, I need to come back tomorrow and do 10 minutes more so that I can begin to connect more with myself, because dance is part of my essence. Mm-hmm. It's part of who I am. And I think so many times when we are just out there, what we call surviving and living our lives and everything else, we let go of our essence. And I'm not quite sure why that is, but we do. And I think a lot of it has to do with the bombardment of the senses. There's so much coming at us all the time that we kind of take on some of that stuff. And in the process, we lose who we truly are. And I don't know if you agree with me or not, Abby, but what kinds of things could we do to try to stay in contact with our essence? Because I think that is probably what leads us down that path towards all kinds of things, including poor health and, you know, the need for spiritual renewal and the, you know, unhappiness that comes as a result of working outside of our gifting.
Mm-hmm. So you said it so well, and the words that came to mind was intuitive resonance. Hmm. So basically, it's moving into alignment with what feels good. So your essence is you. It feels amazing. So keep doing what feels good. And notice where your heart is pulling you. What's expanding your light? What's making you feel better? That's intuitive resonance. So keep following that. And, you know, your essence will guide you to it. It's energy. So intuitive resonance is when energy comes together. So as you stay connected to your heart and your intuition, you will be guided to what feels good and just keep following it. It's so simple. It really is. It's just, do we give ourselves permission?
Yes. You know, absolutely right. That's so interesting, because with kids, you know, yeah, children, they do what feels good.
Right.
And sometimes, of course, we as parents, you know, or adults, right, we cut that short because...
Right. You scold them, right?
Right,
and
right,
adults,
right,
wonder why we're blocked.
You know, a kid jumps off of a piece of furniture and that feels good to them. Parents are like, oh no, you're going to hurt yourself. Oh no, it's going to ruin the furniture. But it's interesting, because spending time with my grandchildren, because I also have a one-year-old child, grandchild, I have a two-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're all at different levels, and it's really interesting watching their personalities develop as they begin to exert themselves, and also as they begin to insert themselves into life as we know it. You know, because when they do that, usually that means we're saying, no, don't do that, or that's not the best way to do it. And if we take ourselves back to our childhood, there's some things that maybe we were told no about, that maybe that wasn't really our no, that was the adult's no. I have another life experience example. Back when I was 13, I was doing the dishes. And back then, for you younger listeners that are under 30, I know I have some of you out there, we didn't have iPods to listen to, okay? I was listening to the radio, yes, but I used to listen to AM radio. And I was doing the dishes and singing along, you know, and, you know, I felt like, oh, this is so much fun, I'm watching the dishes and singing. And I was telling my mom, I said, you know, Mom, I think maybe I might want to be a singer. And my mom says, she says, well, Linus, you have a lot of gifts and a lot of talents, but singing may not be something that you might want to do for a living because you want to be able to pay your mortgage and eat food and finish this whole thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, then I guess I won't. So somewhere in the back of my mind, I decided, well, I can't sing. It's not that I wouldn't sing around the house, but I would never sing for anybody else. Well, fast forward to college. They had Glee Club tryouts, okay? And my roommate was trying out for the Glee Club. She's a music major. I didn't even know what my major was, you know, freshman. And she said, Linus, come with me to the Glee Club tryouts. I said, okay, I'll come and I'll watch. But I'm not trying out for nothing because I can't sing, right? So we get there, and I'll never forget this lady. She scared me to death. She was the head of the music department. She was there, and she was saying, everybody in this room is trying out. We have no observers, and the door's closed. So if you're here, you're trying out. I'm like, oh, my God. And, of course, everybody who was there to try out, except for me, okay? So I go up there, and, you know, I sing something. And the next day, when they came out with the people for the Glee Club, my name was on the damn list. How could that be? How could that be? I can't sing, right? So I told my mom, you know, I made the Glee Club, which is really funny because this was her alma mater, and she was in the Glee Club. And she said, oh, that's great. I said, but Mom, you told me I couldn't sing. And she said, I never said that. And I repeated to her the discussion we had by that time, almost like, what, 8 years ago or 7 years ago or whatever. And she was like, oh, my gosh, I had no idea that you remember something like that, Linus. I was just trying to give you realistic expectations, but I would never say that. Don't still give it a try anyway. So that was a powerful learning for me. And it came into play as I got older when it came to trying new things that others might think were crazy. Hence, here I am now hosting a show on a network, a hit network, hit show. People told me initially when I left corporate America and wanted to form my own business and get into wellness and everything else, they thought it was nuts. Now here I am, 25,000 or more downloads a show, people are listening to me. You know, you never really know, and sometimes you need to push outside that paradigm. If it feels good to you, if it feels right, and when I was singing, it did feel kind of good. I mean, I didn't feel like I made a total jerk out of myself. There were some people who didn't. But I wasn't.
Good condition, baby.
Right. Yeah. But I didn't actually feel that I was one of those. Mm-hmm. And it was a powerful lesson. And listeners, I want to share with you that if there's something that you haven't been doing because somebody else told you you couldn't do that, but somehow or other it resonated with you, you should go back to doing that. And maybe it might not be that thing that you ultimately actually do, but it could lead you to other things. Because for that singing in the Glee Club, where it led me to was being in musicals at, you know, the school, and eventually, you know, dancing in musicals and being seen by agents and then getting a chance to dance professionally as a result. I would never have had that opportunity if I had not gone to try out for the Glee Club. I mean, I ended up dancing professionally, but still, it kind of led me to where I was supposed to be. If your intuition is pushing you to do something, and that kind of brings us to the 2017 and what we talked about earlier. A lot of our 2017 goals and objectives are going to be things that are, I hope they are anyway, outside our comfort zone. You really are not quite sure how you're going to do it, but you've decided you want to do it. And to me, that's your first hint that if you've written it down and it's something that you want to do and it's, you wrote it down for a reason, it's resonating with you. So begin to start focusing on that. And I don't know about you, Abby, but I have to say one of the things that helps me focus on the things that I'd like to get done is I write them down, of course, but I have a big old poster board that I can see when I first walk into my prayer room, and it says all the things that I want to do. And for the last almost 7 years now, all of those things happen. And I can tell you that last year, 2016, one of the reasons why it was such a hot mess, I wasn't at home that much, and because I was traveling. I didn't have my board to look at every day, and sure enough, at least in my tiny mind, that's one of the reasons why things didn't quite happen that way, because I wasn't reaffirming myself. I wasn't, you know, re-engaging in terms of what was resonating with me. I had it written down on my paper, but what really resonates to me is being able to see it big. And maybe for someone else, it might be vision boards or whatever it is that ignites that energy in you to pursue those things that initially come to you or resonate with you.
Yeah. I love it. I love your story. It's such great advice. You know, we teach something called, intention marries intuition, which is exactly what you said. It's what's your intention, and then have your intuition marry that and guide you.
I love that. Okay, so listeners, we are setting an intent right now in this moment in time that we are going to have a fantastic 2017. So intent is the groom, okay? Intuition is the bride. She's coming. Intuition is coming down that hall. Visualize this, listeners. Intuition is coming down that hall, getting ready to meet their intent, their groom, and they're coming together. And now I declare you married.
Okay. Where is your honeymoon?
Well, your honeymoon is going to be taking place in 2017.
Exactly. It's your life.
Every day is going to be a day of discovery, a journey that is going to resonate with whatever your intuition and intent are telling you that you need to happen for 2017. You just got married, intent and intuition. There's no stopping you now for 2017.
Yes. Love it. Freaking love it. And let the love expand and guide you. Love is such a powerful energy. And that's, you know, my work with children is a love, you know, One Heart Global, of helping everybody come together in this intuitive resonance and helping each other. It's love, right? So let the love within you start to resonate with other people to bring on board for your team. So we're part of it. Other people you're going to meet, let that resonance happen. Because there's such power in numbers. You know, for the show you're watching, even, Linus, it's like how it's reaching more people. It's a momentum. Mm-hmm. So follow that and trust that and know that and know you deserve it. So that's the other thing I was going to say is, what's stopping you from already having it now? Write that down and see what beliefs and judgments come up and throw them away and decide to follow your intuition instead. Truly, just like when I was 8 years old, I just got a deja vu. It's infinite. It's infinite. The sky is the limit. You are that powerful. So what do you want to do? Third chakra, your intention, your decision. Let's go. Let's do it.
You know, there's something else that just came into my spirit that I wanted to share with listeners also when it comes to staying focused on what resonates. Part of this journey might be that your intuition will lead you to a knowing that it's time maybe to get a new kind of environment in terms of who you surround yourself with. It doesn't mean you don't love these people anymore. They just may not be part of that plan to get you to where you want to go. So I want to encourage you to begin to think about, you know, intuition and intent. We're together. Lead me to who are going to be the people that are going to support this new marriage.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because when you first get married, and if you haven't done this and you got divorced, this is probably one of the reasons why. When you first get married, you need to make sure that husband and wife, you guys have friends, couple friends, and maybe kind of let go of some of the single friends, because they're kind of their focus is a little different. Not bad, just different. And if you want to stay with the things that marriages are about, couples and loves and relationships and creating shared experiences, maybe you don't spend as much time with your girlfriends or your guy friends, you know, every single week, every weekend you're going out with them, because that's not nourishing that marriage relationship. Same thing with the intent and the intuition marriage. We just got married, folks, so let's remember this. So we want to make sure that we are in relationships and in surroundings and environment that nurture the fact that we are trying to do what really truly resonates with our true selves. So for those of us, and I'm thinking to myself, who am I going to kind of like, not necessarily remove, but maybe put in a different pecking order, and I can already see their faces. God bless them. I love them dearly. But for 2017, they're going to be in a different pecking order. I'm just saying.
Shine your light. And what will happen is you will gravitate towards the people that will support that light and make it grow. And the rest will just follow. You don't even have to say no. You just keep shining your light, and that will almost shine them away in a sense. You know what I'm saying? You are protected by your light, so you won't engage in those lower frequencies. You won't need to. And as you were talking, I got chills. I mean, I'm noticing how some people that I love dearly, one in particular, I'm honest, you know, a past relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's like, love this person, but shining the light creates the biggest boundary because there's love there. Mm-hmm. But there's a boundary. I don't need that. He doesn't need that. Mm-hmm. But there's love. So shine your light and follow your intuition. Again, you're going to gravitate towards what feels good and draw people like us in and more people that make your light expand. If something makes your light constrict, move away from it, walk away.
Mm-hmm. You don't need it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's interesting because sometimes I know that's kind of scary for some people because you've always had that person or that entity in your life.
Yeah, and you know what I've known, and I'm just going to share this as coming through really strong personally, and I know this is for a lot of people, it's a fear of loss. Mm-hmm. That if we let go, we're losing something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not true. You're gaining something more. You can actually bring forward what serves you, but let go of what doesn't. That's why when you shine your light, it naturally will filter itself out, but you're not losing anything. You're just rising to a higher level as you shine your light. So don't think you're losing something when you let something go. You're actually just getting lighter. You're not losing it.
You know, and that reminds me of something else we wanted to talk about today, and that's the fact that you talked about like minds. You're going to be putting together something that will bring a lot of experts in the field of intuition and success together to talk about how intuition can influence our prosperity. Probably, I would imagine, is on everybody's list for 2017 is to enhance our abundance, our prosperity. So tell us a little bit about your Intuition to Income Summit. What is that and how did that get started?
Yeah, so it's a free online show where I interview experts from all over the world on how they too have been following their intuition to increase their income and very specifically to give back and serve, right? So as we fill ourselves up, like you were saying, shine our light, we are guided in business, just like we are in our personal lives, to the right people, places, and things. And so when I was 19, you know, part of my success was I was guided to these people that helped me. And so you're going to find those people for your business. You're going to know what business decision will serve you as you learn to develop your intuition. So the show is really just sharing how to connect deeper with your intuition, learning more from other experts, and just staying together, right? It's a community, and it's leading up to the One Heart Global retreat we have next year where people can have the in-person experience of it or our full certification program. But for the show itself, is you're going to get immersed in that energy. And that's what I want to talk about is just to, in the freshness of 2017, where can I go and gravitate, like you said, Lennis, to the light, to more people? It's like you're going to be in the energy of it. And just as you do that, you're going to feel more connected. So it's like just allow yourself to give that to yourself and, you know, bring your intentions. And like you said, your intuition marries your intention. So it's like it's just going to set the stage for your year. And then, you know, if you want to do further work with me or the experts, you're going to feel called as to where you want to go. And then the other thing I want to share is we're giving back, right? So as for me, I believe when we have it to give, we all have it to give, but where do we want to give to? And for me, it's the children. I felt very called. So we're working with current orphanages and also starting to build our own, where we're giving children this information as well so they can remember. Some of them come from trauma too. And so how they can remember to reconnect and believe in themselves. So if you want to support that, that's at oneheartglobal.co. You can donate or learn more there.
Okay, oneheartglobal.co. And I'm going to make sure that that's on the show page. For all of you who are listening to the show, you could be listening on your iPad or maybe on your cell phone or whatever. Make sure you go to the show page for this show, What's Inside You, and take a look at the show description and all kinds of information about Abby and her passions. And one of them, of course, is the Intuition to Income Summit, which is supporting another passion of hers, which is her nonprofit agency. There will be links that will lead to all of that. Abby, thank you so much for sharing so much of your heart with us and giving us wisdom and helping us with our intent and our intuition. We got married while we were here, and oh my goodness.
Right? You never knew.
Thanks so much for being on What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy. It's been wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to all of you. I'm so glad that we got a chance to spend part of 2016 together. I know the show only started in September of 2016, but I have to share with you how happy I am that the show's doing as well as it is. And please share the show with your family, friends, people you work with, you believe that, first of all, if you do share it, there's something you're supposed to hear. But second of all, there's nothing but love that we like to share on this show. So when you give the link or share the link with someone, you're sharing another form of love that's going into their life. And thank you so much for being a part of mine. I want to tell you that for this last show of 2016, if it airs right before 2016 or right after 2017, that I truly do feel blessed to be living in this moment in time. Even though I know that a lot of stuff is going on about, oh my God, the world's coming to an end because of the election results and things that are going on that aren't wonderful in other parts of the world. But even with all of this, if you are able to listen to this show right now, there's some good things that are going on in your life. First of all, you're listening to this show. But the second, that means that you have access to a cell phone or a laptop or electricity or something like that. So many people in this world do not. And just that alone, let that be what propels you to start thinking about the other things that you can be thankful for. Because gratitude truly is the way to overcome all this negativity that we take in this world. So start being thankful for those things that are obvious. I can remember working with a client of mine once, and she was trying to figure out what to be thankful for. That's why she was coming to me, because she was miserable, she was stressed out, and everything in her life she felt was horrible. So it took a little while, but finally she kind of said in a joking way, I think that maybe I should be thankful for nail polish. And I thought, okay, hey, I know you're kidding me. I know you're thinking that nail polish isn't what you should be thankful for, but if that's what you're thankful for, that's a start. It might be a small thing, but whatever it is, write it down. And I want to challenge you, moving into 2017, since you've just gotten married to the intent and intuition piece, part of what's going to keep you there is gratitude and love. So start writing every day, even if it's just the beginning of your day. And, you know, I talk about this in my abundance course at the Wellness Woman 40 and Beyond Holistic Academy. You can Google that. I have a free course called Abundance. And in that course, I show you 7 steps of things that you can do to have an increased abundance in your life. And one of them is gratitude journaling. You know, starting your day in the very beginning of the day, writing down those things that you are grateful for, you will find that as you begin to do this, that you'll have to stop yourself, because it'll be time to get ready and go to work, because there's so many things, because during the day you'll start noticing more and more things to be grateful for. Being in an era of gratitude ushers in more gratitude. So what I'm hoping that will be inside of you for 2017 is setting the intent that you're going to be grateful for where you are each day in the moment in time as you move forward. Just remember that all things are going to be working together for your good, that you're grateful for where you are, and that you're going to come next time every Thursday for a new show of What's Inside You, Mind, Body, and Being.